Hand off. Gets it back from Hayes. Driving, dishing, tip, fires a left wing three, and that's good. Right through the chute. Third three of the game for Golden State. They went 7 of 37 from deep when they played Minnesota on Wednesday in San Francisco. Hayes has hit all three of her shots for 7 points.
Ball holla. It's Tip. You're listening to Steinie and Guru, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios on 95.7 The Game.
Thanks, Tiffany.
Yay, yay!
14 points in 18 minutes last night on an 80-66 win for the Lynx. Kevin Dan on the call, right here on 95.7 The Game. Couple of fun things we got coming up. I swear we'll get away from some of the series stuff in a little bit. We got a game called, well, not really trademark, but...
We stole it, but it's...
We're going to play our own Who We Play For.
It's great.
Coming up at about 12 o'clock. And then there was something else I wanted to get your thoughts on. Oh, this was it.
Okay.
Before we get out to Steve and Sean... This... Oh, 925. Hey, Goo, I was at the 40-2 short in Jackson Hole, Wyoming last Thursday, and the Bay Area vibes were high in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. So I guess they... Short and 40 been going on tour.
Yeah. Mount Westmore. They had
the whole group.
Yeah, the whole group. And they had Richie Rich come out, you know, old school 415, but, you know, now rapping by just Richie Rich. He came out and did some stuff. But, Evan, it was incredible because you're talking about four icons, and Ice Cube would say, I'm going to do three bangers. I got classics. And then Snoop would come in and do three. It was incredible, man. So they mesh. They got it going on. And then I capped that off with this Saturday, courtesy of you and our guy Jess, Nas and the Roots.
Yeah, shout out to Jesse, by the way. Shout out to our guy Jesse.
Yep, we love him.
Did you have a favorite song? Like when you go to a concert, is there something that you're looking for? I got to hear this. I want to see.
Freaky Tales, Too Short.
Yeah?
These are the tales. I mean, we were in the library in school listening to that because you had cuss words back in the day. So Short did that one. That was it for me.
Right on. I heard him perform. I think he did that song at the Chappelle comedy concert around Super Bowl week. The way he set it up was he had comedy and then music.
That's tight.
With a lot of local artists. So it was Short, P-Lo 40, and Guapale that came out and performed. And then it was back into comedy. And then he finished up with his set. It was pretty cool.
Speaking of P-Lo, that's funny you brought that up. I'm listening to Brownie Blends. He's got a podcast. And he had P-Lo on. Do you know when you see P-Lo, he's sober? No drink, no smoke. I was like, man, more power to you.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow, good for
him.
He's
high off life. I said, damn, if I had that.
He's a pretty creative dude. Yeah. No doubt about it. All right. Gettings in for Steinmetz alongside Guru here on Steinie and Guru, 888-957-9570. Let's get out to Santa Rosa and talk to Steve. Kick us off in the segment, Steve. How you doing?
It's Too Short, baby. Just ain't no snitch.
Yeah
Steve here.
What's up?
Hey, I first off, I want to say I'm a truck driver. I've been doing this for almost 40 years. So I listen to the radio every day, 8 to 10 hours, and I think I'm a pretty good judge of what's going on the airwaves. This station's really cool. You guys are, you know, you stay on topic mostly, with sports, because that's what this is. It's sports talk.
That's my fault.
You know, then you know the entertainment gets in there a little bit, but that's good. You know, you can't just pound on the same thing. The LeBron thing was getting old, but now that's past. Now my thing is, I'm with Guru on this. The 49ers football team that's on the field is fine. They are a solid team. You know, yeah, there's a lot of ifs, ands, or buts. But you know what? The other teams in the league have to worry about injuries, too. Mm. Injuries now in pro sports really are a big factor for all of them because you can't just replace top-tier guys when they get hurt. And they get hurt, especially in football. If the Seahawks lose one of those guys on the front line, on their defense, what's going to happen to them? What about the Rams? You know, what if the quarterback goes down for the Rams? The 49ers have a good organization and a good leadership. The owners, you know, look at the owners in the NFL. Look what the idiot for the Raiders did to them. And now finally, somebody, it seems to me that somebody kind of pushed Davis aside and got some football people in there to, you know, level that ship out, I hope. But, you know, the owners, I don't care about that. You know, I care about what's on the field. The other thing I wanted to say is the media, because I told you, I listen to a lot of radio. The media today basically is garbage. It's total garbage. It's so much garbage that it's, you know, not even worth listening to. I listen to you guys. Very entertaining, very informative on the games. And you're honest. You're giving it to me just like we're sitting in the stands watching the same game and we're talking about what we're seeing. The thing I can't stand about, one of the biggest things that bugs me about the media, and especially the baseball writers, Barry Bonds has been treated like he's the devil reincarnated because he supposedly did PEDs. Barry Bonds never embarrassed Major League Baseball or the Giants with anything off field. He went to the gym, he ate right, he rested, he trained, he practiced, and then he went out on the field and delivered. And what does he get for all that effort? That guy belongs in the Hall of Fame. And all this media hype and media talk, you know, it's garbage. It's garbage. I'm a fan. I'm looking at what they did on the field. I don't hang out with them. I don't know what they do in their personal life. I don't want a selfie with them. I turn on the TV. I watch the game. I want to see them perform. The Giants, too. The Giants, I think, are getting a bad rap. The offense, you know, at first it was a mess. It was terrible. But now they've turned around.
Yeah.
And they've made changes, you know, and they're putting up runs. But we don't have any pitching. And in Major League Baseball, that's the whole thing. In the end, it's the pitching that's going to win the World Series. It's the closers. It's not so much the starters. It's the middle relievers and the closers that dictate the championships now.
Mm.
And we don't have that. We don't have that. That's what we need. I think if the Giants get a solid closer and a decent setup guy, with the starters they got, they can compete. And then, you know, the injury thing. Look what happened to the Dodgers. They lost one of their top relievers. It hurt them.
Yeah. No doubt. Thanks for the call, Steve. A lot there.
Yeah. Also, I'll take it from
we'll get into the Giants a little bit later.
The Barry Bonds, he should be in the Hall. So should Pete Rose. That's just me. If I were president, that's what I would do. I'm a judge of what you did on the field. And both of those dudes should be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a little.
I got you.
It's a little different with Pete Rose than it is for Barry Bonds, but
I said what I said.
I know. Pete Rose isn't being kicked out because he was a great player, though, Evan.
Man.
Charlie Hustle, man.
Wow,
he was awesome. You guys did a name game right last week for social media. You went down the list of MVP
contact, Rich Aurelia, power,
speed, and I think Steiny's player. When he was asked about contact, was Pete Rose.
Yeah, that was dope. And what made it better is Pasta went and got a highlight of, you know, everybody we mentioned. So that was sick to see.
Now, I got to ask you where the Rich Aurelia came from for contact. He wasn't a great player.
Yeah.
Good shortstop.
I liked him. And
he did lead the league in hits.
But really, do
2002.
You want to know the origin?
Hey, you always tell the truth.
So Pasta's got the camera all in my face. It's during the break. We're doing the show. Evan, what if I told you guys? Thank you. Still had the camera. I just blacked out, looked up at the TV. I needed an answer. And Bonte, there was a rerun of the NBC Sports Bay Area Giants postgame. And it was Bonte and Aurelia. And I said, I can't use Bonte. And there was Richie, my guy. And I said Aurelia because I went fade to black.
I'm just going around in circles.
My guy.
No, Richard really was a good hitter.
200 hits
this
season.
Led the league in hits early 2000s.
Rich,
I think he hit over 300. Career like 275.
He responded to me, IG. I added him on that. He was a good sport about it.
It was just funny. He was going down Tony Gwynn, Rod Carew, Pete Rose, Ichiro Suzuki, Rich Aurelia.
Yeah. Right. Commenters had some fun with it.
The other part that Steve brought up, and we appreciate the compliments, I do got to say, anytime you're comparing an owner to Mark Davis, I'm not sure that's where you want to live. Like the Raiders under Mark Davis have not been known as a quality, high-class organization.
It's been a joke,
to be honest. So again, does that impact the field? Not necessarily, but then you look at a large period of time, you say, well, what's wrong there? They haven't really been winning games. They haven't had great GMs. They haven't had great head coaches. Maybe a couple, you know, years here and there where they've been competitive. If you're comparing yourself to the Mark Davis-led Raiders, I think there's an issue. That's all I'm going to say on the ownership front. Let's get back into it with the fans at 888-957-9570. Sean is in Palo Alto.
Sean, hey.
What's up, Sean? How you doing?
Hey, guys. I really enjoy your show, and all of you guys, you do a great job. Just like the previous caller, man, I listen to you guys whenever I can when I'm in the car. And I'm a Rams fan. I've called in from time to time, big Rams fan. The first thing is that the 49ers are the team that gives me the most anxiety when we play. I don't care about Seattle. But when the Rams and 49ers play, you can take what the Rams have on paper and throw it out the window. It's just going to be an ugly, slug, hard, physical fought game, just like last year when you guys went into SoFi and had everybody hurt. Throw all that out the window. That's going to work itself out on the field. But also about Kyle Shanahan, that is not a big deal. I mean, it's a big deal because he got hurt, and if he has to miss time for, you know, from the organization, from that perspective, it is. But the guy did nothing malicious. We all make mistakes. We're all on our phone sometimes when we shouldn't be, and it's not any of our business about that. There was no maliciousness or anything like that at all. And it's unfortunate because he got hurt, but the guy's solid. He's a great coach. You know, who are you going to get to replace him? Nobody. And so that's all. I'm just, no big deal. It happens all the time to people. As far as Jed York goes, he should call Robert Kraft up, and maybe those guys can figure out a better plan, because I think it's a story and whatnot, especially that. When it comes down to it, the owners, most owners, yes, they can ruin a team, but they're not the ones running the team and making football decisions. There's other people in place. Basically, at the end of the day, those dudes are writing a check, and they get to get on camera once in a while and smile and show off, you know, whatever it may be. But not very many owners know football. Like back in the day when Al Davis did, he was a coach. Jerry Jones even knows a little bit, even though he's Jerry Jones. But that's really all I wanted to say. I appreciate you guys. You get me fired up as a Rams fan.
Thanks,
sometimes,
man.
And so do the callers. But I really like you guys, and I appreciate you, and that's all I got.
Thanks for the call, Sean. Appreciate that, man. Yeah, look, I mean, hopefully it's just a blip on the radar. But so, Goo, for you, of the guys that we discussed that are going to be kind of the, I don't know if it's the biggest difference makers in that class of age that we talked about. Like, who's the guy that stands out to you?
That I'm more worried about?
Yeah.
Oh, it's not even close. And again, it's Bosa. And it's Bosa because there's a possibility he could not be ready for week one. If he's back week two, nothing to see here. But there is something to see here, because when he was upright and healthy, he had 10.5 and 9.5 sacks in two seasons back to back. And again, for the average D lineman, that's sufficient. That's okay. But when you're getting the Benjamin, shout out Ice Cube, that Bosa's getting, and now you're looking around your defensive line and you brought in OC, and he's not actually, you know, he can stop the run and get after quarterback, but, you know, he's not Reggie White. So it starts and ends with Bosa, Evan, and I just starting to wonder, is it going to be fair if I start adding on to Bosa's birth certificate by these injuries, these chronic injuries to the knee and this knee tendonitis? Like, that can age a guy. You can be 21, but if you're dealing with something serious, I mean, are you really 21? Are you 24, 25? So to me, it's not even close. And Vic Tafer's piece about him basically not practicing, and there's three practices left. You know, they got a game this week, and then it's go time next week. Like, damn, Evan, slap me or throw some water on me right now and let me know, am I overreacting or is my panic, because that's what it is right now until I see otherwise, would you say is validated?
No, I think the biggest question they have to answer on offense is how many of their older guys can stay on the field. And for their defense, it's can they get after the quarterback? Because Nick Bosa is coming off a second ACL, still has not practiced yet. Mikael Williams is still out from his knee surgery.
Yeah.
Bryce Huff is retired. So you're left with Oso Digizua and a lot of unproven talent on the defensive line. I think that's absolutely fair.
Yeah, he retired.
He's done. So, and you already weren't a team that got after the quarterback last year. So is that all going to be on Raheem Morris? I don't know. They need Nick Bosa more than they have in prior years, and he can't get on the field right now.
And that's what's so, what word am I looking for? I'll shout out San Francisco. It's so foggy when you watch preseason games, not only, Evan, because who's not out there, but then you're watching like, okay, hey, this looked good. That was a great play. Okay, bang, boom, bam, you know, against the Chargers. But then all that really matters is, will that translate, you know, on Sundays when it's real time? And, you know, Evan, I want you really to put on your teacher hat. Steiny, I got to – it's like pulling teeth in a root canal for this. But you and Kenny, give me a grade for this analogy. And this is just my Niner analogy. As you age in life and you get to 56 and 60 and 70, your hair turns gray. And it's symbolic that you're getting over.
Already got some.
I can't see them, so you're winning. And you can't beat it, even if LeBron, Beijing. I'm just saying, you get gray. It's symbolic that you're older, you're mature, you're growing, you're changing. And I just feel like since the Niner Super Bowl trip in 2019 and is demonstrative, is successful, is physical, is mean, is innovative as the Niners have been since that Super Bowl that has not culminated in a chip, I get frustrated for them because it was so mean that they should have one. Now when I hear you say anxiety of age, it's just natural to now in important places on your football team, not at quarterback, maybe running back. What if I told you the Niners to me have gotten a little gray in some of those areas? So I don't know if that gray is to the point to where now you've missed your window or you got to go retool, Evan. But that's how I'm looking at the Niners because they are older and the older guys are coming off injury.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, always live in the free Odyssey app and now broadcasting for the Laughing Monk Studios. I would ask, so you're 56.
Yeah.
I don't see a lot of grays.
But if you look, there's...
How do the Niners get like Daryl the Guru Johnson?
Well, it's DNA, but I mean, but genetics. But no, Evan, there's gray. My point is, like, is Bosa, have we seen the best of Bosa? Like, and I'm being, I don't know. I'm not, I got to see it, but Vic Tafer telling me he ain't practiced. I'm like, whoa, that's supposed to be Kittle. And I would have took the Kittle news like, oh, okay, I get it. But man.
I would say yes. And the reason is I don't think we're ever going to see him win a defensive player of the year again.
And that's what I guess
Nick
I'm asking.
Bosa is the best defensive player
in football.
And that's
a high standard, but you're, I hear you. But Evan, can we get 14, 15 sacks from him?
That's a lot, especially when you don't have a lot else around him.
Oh, man.
I think the defense is going to be kind of cobbled together again like it was last year. And that's, and I know that the offense did a ton last season and McCaffrey was utterly fantastic. But the biggest head scratcher to me about last season's 12-5 finish in a playoff
was
win
incredible.
Is how they got enough done on defense without any guys with more than four sacks, with being 30th in interceptions, and without being a team with really anybody you could look at and say, you know what, that's a star-studded player, at least by the end of the year when they're all hurt.
So I want
Diamador Lenore was the best player left standing on that defense last year.
And speaking of which, the secondary is a byproduct of your pass rush. Like, you know, Stafford, now Darnold, I got to feel like when he steps on the field this year, his confidence will be from here to Canada. You got to believe because he's got it done, regardless how much credit you give him. But I will say this to the secondary. I am so worried about, Evan, I don't care who you are and how good you think you are and your natural skills. If you got to cover a guy for 3.5 to 4 or 5 seconds, it's over. I don't care if you're Deion. So it's imperative again for the Niners to get after the quarterback. But to your point, I gave Kyle a lot of credit for what he did with Mac Jones. But defensively, that might have been Robert Saleh's best job, and the numbers won't tell you that. But for them to win 12 games and not have those metrics on their side and be last in sacks, holy hell, how did you do it?
Well, and that's why I was...
Jalen Hurts on like, what were... Sirianni, what were you guys... You were that bad?
I was surprised that the entire secondary, when they played the Titans in the joint practice, like, were dumping on Saleh. know, they didn't like, sitting back there and getting cooked while four guys who couldn't get to the quarterback were rushing without an extra blitzer.
Now, I have been seeing guys in the secondary. Some may play, some not. Youngsters. Evan, every time I see them break up a pass, I'm like, is that what they were talking? Like, let me cover. I don't know if that's what they're saying, but maybe they felt like they were in a straitjacket. But, man, oh, man, I can't wait for the season to start. And I need to know about Bosa. Well, that's my question.
And I haven't fact-checked this, but I'm going to trust the 510 here that Myles Garrett had more sacks than the entire
that's
Niners team last year.
That is a fact.
Well, he's going to be in Australia week one playing in a Los Angeles Rams uniform.
Lined up on the left side of that line to test whoever their new guard is. Like, I mean, man.
Byron Young, I think, is their other big edge rusher. Yeah. We don't know if Aaron Donald's going to be there.
Now, real quick about that. We're not in L.A. What do you make of that? Look at me, look at me. Make a decision, and you know you're playing.
He was at the facility.
You know you're playing. He's doing this for – he wants his name out there. I ain't hating, but I guess I am. You know you're playing, but you like, hey, wifey, pull up a chair and get popcorn. They're talking about me. Adam, you know you're playing. I'm tired of that stuff.
What if he was a Niner?
Then we'd be waiting it out. But I just, no, Eve, do you believe he knows if he's milking it, and it's cool.
I don't know. What he hasn't played in, was it a couple seasons?
Yeah.
Hasn't been back. I mean, I don't know. It was.
But Miss, he knows it. He, like LeBron.
I think he
knows,
I think he
the
wants
decision
to play.
Already.
I think he wants to play. But I don't know if he can tell if his body can make it through 17 games anymore.
Oh, man.
You know, I think in a perfect world, Aaron Donald's looking at somebody like Von Miller and saying, wow, man. Okay, so you kind of put it in cruise control the entire year. And I know that Von Miller was with Washington
yeah,
right now.
9 sacks last year.
Yeah, but Von Miller can kind of play
at
his own speed.
He with Dallas now. Yeah,
oh, sorry,
yeah.
But Dallas was with Washington last year. He can kind of play at his own speed. You know, it's funny because I don't think the Niners have a lot of Von Millers yet. Von Miller is at a very advanced age. But doesn't it kind of feel like in training camp there's a few guys that are just in cruise control? And you don't know whether that's going to prevent them from getting hurt during the regular season or if it's just preceding them potentially getting banged up with these small issues most of the season. Mike Evans, tightness with McCaffrey, tendonitis with Bosa. You know, how much are they hanging on by the San Francisco 49ers, depending on a lot of players that are either old or potentially injury-prone. 888-957-9570 is the number. Evan Giddings in for Matt Steinmetz alongside Daryl the Guru Johnson. All right, we'll be back after this on Steiny and Guru. Our football coverage on 95.7 The Game is presented by Xfinity. Score the most reliable Wi-Fi, one price, 5 years, guaranteed. Xfinity, imagine that.
Hey, it's Joe Shasky, and football season is here, and that means Baldy, Brian Baldinger, every Tuesday, 7:30 all season long. Baldy! Now back to Steiny and Goo, who always bring that heat. Well, at least most of the time.
Thanks, Shasky.
What happened to the wet spit that fire?
Well, the real reel?
Yeah, the real reel.
I think that's a different
okay,
a different rejoin.
We got some bad news, E.
Yeah, we did.
Want to tell them?
Now, Dolly Parton passed away earlier this morning in a statement released by, I believe, her nephew.
80 years old.
80 years old. Yeah, rest in peace, Dolly Parton.
Now, I was impressed. You and Kenny were, it sounds like, and I got to be careful, because I remember 9 to 5, one of the greatest movies that she was in. What was it? The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas. I remember that one. And you guys were more, I don't want to speak for you, but you were more on her music than the movies, huh? Like, you guys were naming off. I was like, man, but I remember Steel Magnolia, all that stuff, man.
Well, I mean, there was Chase, who's in the back, just came in and was like, you know, I couldn't name a song off the top of my head. I said 9 to 5, and you automatically know that. Everyone knows that song. It's just, you know, some simple ones. So
I mean, that was just Jolene, for your information. Go.
That was just Jolene.
Jolene. That's the song we came back with.
Oh, okay.
The
See?
One that he just played.
Yeah.
Jolene.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, I mean, she had like 10 Grammys.
Man.
It was one of the original progressive country singers, and he's just iconic.
Yeah.
In many ways.
Have you ever seen the movie, her and Sly Stallone, The Rhinestone?
I haven't.
Oh, you no, Kenny?
I haven't.
That's a great.
I've seen clips, and that movie looks terrible.
Hey, she just passed. Come
no,
on.
No, 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 no. Not because of her, because of Sylvester Stallone acting like a cowboy.
1980, I believe it was 4 or 5.
Yeah, people are chiming in. Jolene was the first time she topped the country charts in 1974.
Wow, man. Dolly. Yep.
I Will Always Love You is also a big one that became a hit for Whitney Houston.
That's how I was just going. I know that from Whitney, yeah, but that was Dolly.
Song. Wow. That was her song.
Rest in peace,
first
queen.
Female country artist to have an album sell over 1 million copies.
Wow.
Yeah, rest in peace to Dolly Parton. All right, 888-957-9570 is the number. Gettings in for Steinmetz alongside Goo. Leroy is in Oakland.
Lee.
Thanks for hanging on, Leroy. How you doing, man? What's going on?
I'm doing all right, Evan. I'm doing all right. Boo, what's up with y'all, man? Oh, to hear that about Dolly, man, man, that just took my little thunder away, man, because, you know, I was born 1970, Boo, you know.
Yes, sir.
And we know. I remember, I think, the last time I sat and watched something with Dolly, she had did a duet with Queen Latifah. Called He's Everything.
Oh, I
so guys,
that.
Check that out.
Okay.
It's a nice duet, man. So real quick, you know, lifelong 49er, man. Been a 49er fan since 1978. And so it's good to hear some of the things that the fans care about, the media cares about. I know the Jed York story is in. But a lifelong 49er fan who is me, I got my top five. Y'all asked earlier. Of, you know, how is the season so far? Top five things. And Bosa didn't make the list.
Mm.
Jed York didn't make the list. And Shanahan didn't make the list. So here's five and up. Number five, getting Debo back was big, man. If nothing but for the culture, it was good getting Debo back. Number four, man, the 49ers, they still don't know how to draft offensive linemen. Man, that's a concern for me. I mean, everybody loves Stribling at pick number 33 in the second round. I do too, Goo, Evan. You know, so far he's good. But, man, offensive lineman Chase Bicentis was sitting right there. And Arizona swooped him up at number 34. And he's ready to plug and play now. And I think, Goo, he's going to be a big part of Jeremiah Love's success, all right?
Okay.
Number three, the health of Kittle. The health of Kittle, that's good. Looks like he's going to be ready. Then the health of Purdy is number two. That's good. It looks like he's healthy. And then number one, my big concern, who's going to back up Christian McCaffrey? Because the way he plays, the way Shanahan uses him, man, I just don't expect to see him the whole season. And we're going to need a solid backup because Shanahan likes to run the ball. That's going to be a lot of his offense. So, that's my number one.
Hey, Leroy, before you leave, Evan won't know this reference, but Thursday, get ready for season three, baby. Beauty and Black is back. Netflix.
Oh, I can't wait.
Yeah.
I can't wait. And speaking of that, hey, you and Evan, man, y'all Ebony and Ivory, man. Shout out to Stevie Wonder and Paul
there
McCartney.
It is.
Y'all doing a great job.
Thanks, Leroy. Appreciate the call, man.
Lee.
If you were going to sell me on that show, because I got to be honest, I don't know anything about it. If you're going to sell me on that
Tyler
show.
Tyler Perry creation, and it has everything, sex, lies, murder, everything that's on TV now. But it's pretty good, man.
All right. Maybe
one of those series, Evans, to where you say, why am I watching this? But it's just entertaining. You know, like,
yeah, that's
you're kind of lightweight embarrassed.
Well, I mean,
Do you have any of those, E?
Well, the entire 49ers offseason has been a soap, what do they call them, soap box?
Yeah.
Soap box?
I can't understand how Leroy, to me, would
soap
omit
boppers.
Bosa.
Thanks, Kenny.
Yeah, Bosa, after Young and the Restless. How could you omit Bosa?
Well, Bosa's, I think he is a big deal for a lot of people, and it's because even before he got hurt, I think some of his past seasons have been underwhelming. But here's where my mind went off the Leroy thing, because he's talking about a lot of players, and there's a fragility to some of these guys, right? Mm-hmm. The five pillars beyond Shanahan and Brock that this team are kind of built on would be Trent Williams, George Kittle. You look at Nick Bosa, Mike Evans, Christian McCaffrey. You could throw Warner in there,
I guess, if you want.
He's not somebody that I'm worried about. This is his first major injury. and he's always been an Iron Man for the Niners. I expect him to be back and to just be good immediately. All the other guys, there are questions about, whether it's because of Bosa's ACLs, Williams, who's 38, Evans is going to be going into year 13, McCaffrey had 400 and umpteen touches last year. There's a lot going on. Kittle's Achilles. How good can those guys be? And the biggest difference between that group and, say, a group for the Seahawks or the Rams is that I feel like the Rams and the Seahawks have guys behind them or younger guys that are ascending. The Niners have not yet proved that with their draft classes, they've found guys that can get better, guys with ceilings and potential. I think that's why there's so much excitement around someone like Stribling. And if you want to throw in Ephesians Prysock, who's looked good in preseason, Romello Height, who people are excited about in a rookie edge rusher, there are guys that people have energy for, but we don't know yet if they can actually produce at the NFL level. Meanwhile, you look at a team like the Seahawks, don't have to go down their draft history. They've been fantastic. Yeah. The Rams are associated with a bunch of top-tier talent, the Staffords, the Nakuas, the Adams. But you look at their defense, Braden Fisk is going to be in his third year. Kobe Turner is fourth. Byron Baller. Young is fourth.
Baller.
Those are three starters on the defensive line alone that they've drafted in the last three seasons or four seasons. So to me, it's like the biggest gap, the reason for the big gap between the Niners and the two teams in front of them is not just the Myles Garretts and the,
gotcha,
you know, the Jackson Smith and Jigabas, the best players. It's also the guys behind them, the lesser known starters that have been found in the draft.
Now, what if I hear you loud and clear, and it sounds like you're describing depth, and you know that's what enabled the Rams to get to the NFC Championship and obviously Seattle to win the Super Bowl. But what if I told you we get to see more Alfred Collins? You know, Mykael Williams, when that day does come that he's coming back. I mean, we get to see these year two, three guys, you know, try to come into their own. Renardo Greens of the world. Like, you know, we're about to find out, Evan, to what you said, we're about to find out, not just with the, you know, household names, but what's behind, you know, you look at the offensive line, the depth there, and hopefully that's sufficient. But, you know, at quarterback right now, that's the one that I feel like the Niners have the best backup quarterback situation in the NFL. And obviously, you don't want to have to utilize that because that means Brock would have got hurt. But that means something to me. But he mentioned Black or the running back after McCaffrey. And I'm going to steal from Willard. Numbers are numbers are numbers are numbers. But when you look at the numbers on McCaffrey's Carfax report, after he's had the amount of carries like he's had last year, what that does just for games played and how there is a drop-off, and I'm trying to fight that and be proactive, but since the Garindos of the world, the Marcus Robinson Jr., like Brian Robinson Jr., why can't they find a back that Kyle trusts to alleviate and take some of the load off McCaffrey?
Well, I don't know if it's that they can't find a back that they trust, but you can't find one that you trust more than McCaffrey.
No,
there's not one out there that you're going to give the ball to more than 23.
But there's the light turns yellow before it turns red. It gives you a warning that, hey, slow down, you might get caught. And I'm just wondering, will this be the year, because of the usage of McCaffrey last year, that Kyle would trust maybe Black back there more than, like, I don't understand why Brian Robinson Jr. only got 52 carries. And I hear what you're saying. Well, Goo, it's because McCaffrey's more talented, but it's bigger than that. Sometimes you got to save the player from himself. And I just feel like we've been waiting for Garindo. We've been waiting for the next, not star, but the next back that Kyle will trust, and I feel like we haven't seen it.
But wouldn't last season prove that you can't approach games like that? I mean,
in what way?
Well, McCaffrey had the most touches he's ever had in his entire career last year.
Yeah, okay.
And in his age 29 season. Right. You would think that if he played 17 games and got the ball nearly 450 times, that he would break down. Okay, well, he didn't.
Well, that's why I'm saying, do you try
to... So I don't think you can go into this year just expecting that...
So there's no load manage at all for McCaffrey,
because
we've seen the
Niners
with leads, and he's still in there.
Well, there's going to be in practice. He had tightness and sat out 15 days.
But not in the games, I'm asking you. You feel like...
If he's active on Thursday night against the Rams, I expect him to touch the ball as much as is necessary for the Niners. Mm. You know, until the game script plays out the way it does. But it's like, if McCaffrey's out there, Kyle Shanahan's going to use him.
Well, that we know. But after last year's 400-plus touches, I'm like, man, I get what you're saying, Evan. Yeah, the Cadillac made it on the trip, but then what about when you take another trip? Are you going to, you know, be, use it like you did last year? Or do you? Is there any kind of, like, plan to where, look, and I get what you're saying, he's probably your best offensive player, but, man, you kind of want to protect him from himself a bit. Like, I get – you know what I mean? Like, it can't be 400-plus touches, can it?
Well,
he led
the
team in receiving.
No, I would bet that McCaffrey doesn't play more than 14 games this year just because his track record is what it is. But I'm saying that if he is out there, you have to use him like he's the horse from last season because that's the best way to win football games. And, I mean, I don't know. Maybe they adjusted because Mike Evans can catch the ball a bit more.
You got a better wide receiver.
Yeah, you have better weapons to use. So last year you had to depend on McCaffrey.
Man.
But if you're Brock Purdy or Mac Jones and Christian McCaffrey is next to you in the backfield, you're going to give him the ball because he's the best playmaker that they have on that offense. And it doesn't matter if he's 30 years old. They may run him into the ground this year.
We got to say it in the unit or in the streets. Sounds like you're saying just ride till the wheels fall off.
That's what they do. That's what the Niners did in 2023, which is why McCaffrey probably dealt with the Achilles tendonitis next season.
That's fair.
And then he bounced back last season and had a great year. I don't know if it's 1 year and one off, but like the nature of that position is to be run into the ground.
Man.
That's why people don't typically pay running backs unless they're as great as Christian McCaffrey, because you're just going to use them up. So, look, if Christian McCaffrey's got one great season left in him, then the Niners will be better off for it. But to me, the usage rate is something they have to –
They have to
find out about.
And maybe that's why they, and you could laugh, but maybe that's why they thought Stribling was something that could help, you know, stretch the defenses and not have McCaffrey as your leading receiver, because that's a pounding too.
Well, here's Brian Baldinger from the Morning Roast talking about something that we've kind of danced around, the idea of getting younger. How can they do that?
Oh, it's huge. They need it. They need, because there's nothing like an injection of youth. Like some of these guys don't know what they don't know, but Kalon Black looked good and they need him to be good. They need a backup to Christian. So, you know, he looked powerful. He pushed the pile. He looked decisive. He looked good. They need Stripling to be good. It's obviously the injuries are the injuries, but they need him to be special. And if you just look at Seattle last year, you know, you look at their left guard, and Graves Abel and what he did to him last year and the pop that he gave him. You look at Emmanuel and what he did for that defense. You need an injection of youth. It can't just be veterans because of their experience and what they have accomplished in this league. Players need that juice, that rookies and young players, not just these guys that we're talking about, Prisak. They need these guys to pop and to really help. And there's no better feeling than when you see young guys step up and contribute immediately.
I mean, look, you
I ain't mad at him.
Well, you think about the first two preseason games. What's everybody hyped about?
The youth.
Stribling.
Yeah.
And he hasn't played a single snap in an NFL regular season game. But just from the preseason, people are pumped because this guy looks like he's explosive. He looks like a playmaker. And that's what they need. In addition to, you know, McCaffrey and Kittle, like they need a young guy to break through. That's what to me is what is holding this team back from being seen in the same class as the others in their division, the Rams and the Seahawks.
Interesting. And to me right now, you didn't ask, but I'll share it. If you were to say, Goo, who's their most promising young player right now, would you have a problem if I said it's the quarterback, Brock Purdy? Because I still consider him young, and he did it. He took the baton and, you know, did what he did, got paid. But would you have a problem? Would you say he's more seasoned? But I look at him in that position like, man, they're so good at that position. But it's bigger than just him.
Well, I think Brock Purdy's graduated for me. I don't think he's – because he's going into year five, year four as a starter. I think he's established. And it's funny, people have not really brought up Brock Purdy a whole lot this offseason. I think – when I think of the young guys, I think of players on their first contract. So – for the Niners, how many of them do you look to right now and are expecting big things from them this season? There's not a lot. You know, you'd hope that Alfred Collins can take a step. Or,
what about Pooney? Would you have a problem if I just bring him up? And I know, you know, took a step back, if you want to say that, last year, not what it was his first time out. But, man, you know, they could use that oomph from him on that line.
No, he had a good rookie season. Last year wasn't as good. Yeah. Upton Stout looks like he's taking steps in camp.
Good call.
You know, so they've got some dudes there, but, I mean, you need someone to, in my opinion, be talked about in the same way that we talk about those other great aging stars.
Right.
You know, and we've been talking about the Kittles and the McCaffreys, gotcha, and the Williamses, and it's a credit to them and their longevity in production for so long. But Deebo Samuel's back. Okay, I expect DeJon Stribling to be more impactful this season than Deebo Samuel at this stage in his career. Am I crazy for that?
No, not at all. And I'll tell you what, it's year one for Stribling, but if that were to happen and one of the two, you know, were to ball out, it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world for the Niners when you could just say, hey, it was a rookie campaign for DeJon, and, you know, he's got year two, but you kind of maximize and cash that Deebo chip that he still had more in the tank than anybody thought. So at least you get to, you know, you get that from Deebo, and then Stribling still can give it to you, you know, year two, year three, year four, and still have an okay rookie campaign.
This is from the 510. Stribling is to the 49ers as Yaxel is to the Warriors, and the fans believe that they got action with both dudes. Yeah, that's fair. I mean, Yaxel had a great summer league, but you still got to see it in an NBA regular season game.
And that's what blew me away when you came up with the great question about the youngsters in the Bay. And Eldridge, you pointed out, was the only one that actually had, you know, pro players.
He's got the biggest sample size.
Exactly.
Yeah.
These two dudes, yeah, it looks good, but none of them have counted.
Not yet.
10-inch hands or 10-inch hands. 6'9", 240 or 50 for Yaxel, that's going to follow you. You know what I mean? That's DNA. So I'm excited about those from both guys.
Well, but that's why, from what I've seen from Stribling, he excites me the most. And part of it is because the Niners just haven't had a great young receiver emerge since, well, Ayuk's probably the closest
that. And
one.
And that's why it's just sad. It just is.
What's happening with him?
Yeah, what happened. Just the fact that they paid him, and I know there was some uncertainty and blah, blah, blah. But Evan, I can honestly tell you, outside of Antonio Brown, and I believe it's concussions or CTE that he accumulated, you know, long ago, and it played out, that was sad. But for Brandon Ayuk to be this young, get paid more than I thought the team was going to give him, and then get mad and get hurt, and then do what he's been doing, is quiet on the set here lately. Like, Evan, if we just sat back, like, how uncanny is that?
Well, you take a look at Ayuk, who's gone off the deep end.
You know, well said.
Hopefully it comes to conclusion at some point. But
he hasn't even sent in a letter. He don't want to play.
I don't know what he's doing, and I don't really care. But the fact of the matter is, that's production that the Niners don't have on the field. They won't have Pearsall this season because of the PCL. So those are your two. You know, I'm trying to think of other players that have emerged from, you know, a younger cat. Yeah. Ayuk is in a different class than Pearsall because he was a second team All Pro.
Gotcha.
In 2023. I mean, it wasn't as if he wasn't legit going into his contract.
Big
year.
Catch against the Packers in the playoff game.
Pearsall's been good when he's on the field, but we haven't seen it for a full season. You know, outside of that, the Niners haven't had a young guy recently outside of Brock Purdy at the quarterback position, to me, that has really energized the fan base and even the team. It's funny. So Brian Baldinger brought up the idea that a young guy can create juice.
I like that.
I mean, do you remember how much juice the Niners had the moment Brock Purdy stepped under center?
How much excitement
swept over the Bay Area as soon as he was called upon in that game against Miami?
It was juice turned into PG&E electricity. I mean, it was that much juicy. I know. Anyway, it was like that. That was well said. And it turned into the electricity, man. And look where Brock is now. But I can't hate on Brock. That was an assignment that nobody knew he was going to get the opportunity to take, and he passed it. And now look. But, man, you're right. That was – I thought they were ready.
And I know that the quarterback position is different, but the Niners are going to need somebody. I don't know if it's Stribling, if it's Height, if it's Stout on defense, a second-year player. they're going to need somebody to emerge, because I also think that energizes the old guys.
Oh,
you know, you're seeing a lot of them kind of load manage their way through camp, and that's fair and understandable for them. You know, McCaffrey's not gonna practice every single day. Nick Bosa is yet to get back on the field, man. On the practice field, I should say. And even though Kittle's back out there, you know, he's probably going to take it easy throughout this. They need some young guy to take a little bit of the load off of their plate. To me, that's where the Niners are in a bit of danger, and why I think they're hanging on right now until someone else steps up.
And that's why I think Stribbs is the leader. It sounds like you agree, the leader in the clubhouse going into into this season.
I think so. All right, 888-957-9570 is the number. How are you feeling about the San Francisco 49ers right now? As they get set, they got about three more practices before they head down to Australia, and then 2 weeks away effectively from their first game against the Los Angeles Rams on September 10th. All right, if you're still making plans for September, we've got one for you. Great golf, great people, and an even greater cause. Learn more about the Pettinelli Financial Partners Charity Golf Tournament at Harding Park on Friday, September 11th, benefiting the Autism Society, SF Bay Area. Check it out at PettinelliFP.com. Also, next Thursday, our Red and Gold Summit, Thursday, September 3rd. All the hosts, including a special guest, Brian Baldinger, will be live from Jackson Pleasant Hill from 4 to 6 p.m. Willard and Dibbs get you started at 2, and then at 4, the summit commences with Brian Baldinger, 5 to 6. Great food, great drinks, chance to meet Baldy, all the hosts, all brought to you by Ashby Lumber and Humboldt Sawmill, Redwood Products. We're back after this on 95.7 The Game.